Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Hunt Lifty podcast, brought to you by Hunt Lifty Official. I'm Carter, back with my favorite co-host, Perry. Yeah. What's going on, man?
Yeah, you just remember that, Luke. That just means I'm going to have to do more podcasts now, but I'm good with it, man. Doing great.
Kick him off all of them, man.
Hey, don't threaten me with a good time.
Nah, yeah, go ahead, man.
Yeah, stoked to be here, man. Happy to have part two of this conversation with our guest tonight.
Hell yeah. Our esteemed guest, the one and only Josh Walker, coming back for episode two. What's going on, Josh?
Second take at it, man. I'm fired up. I'm about, I don't know, probably slightly over halfway done with hunting season. Kind of gets shitty when you get in November and then you start thinking about September and then you realize how long ago that was and then you're like, damn, you know, I'm gonna have to start shooting ducks and geese and then start thinking about turkeys and stuff like that. So, you know, that's the, you know, first world conundrum that I'm in right now is just thinking about what I got left moving forward, man. But hey, I'm fired up to be here though. Tell you
that. Stoked to have you, dude. You know, listeners, you should know that Josh was on episode 123 with us not too long ago. So if you want to go listen to part one, this is a recap shoot the shit kind of episode, man. So we're stoked stoked to chat with you, dude.
Hell yeah.
It's funny you say that, Josh. We were just in Antelope Camp, me, Perry, and Cole, and Luke, and two other guys in Wyoming. And we all tagged out within 24 hours. And
I saw the pictures.
Dude, we were just sitting around and we were like, damn, I wish we had another tag. It's like exactly
think
what
about
you're
that,
talking
man.
About.
Yes, 100%. Because, and that's the thing, like, and you know, a lot of the people that aren't on our side from the standpoint of hunting, it's like they think that it's all about the kill. And it's like, dude, just the process of it, man. Like, I just want to go hunt them again. Like, when you all got done, it's like, I just want to go hunt them again. Like, it's all about going out chasing those damn things, man. I get it.
Yeah, Luke and I talked about that so much because I killed literally the first hour of the first day, and Luke killed that same evening. And we still had, what, four more days on the books? And I'm like, man.
Oof.
These antelope are so much fun to chase. Like, I want to keep going. And then, you know, everyone else is tagged out in 24 hours. And so, you know, it's obviously a blessing to have that happen. We had some good luck and we had a lot of fun. But it makes you just wish you could extend the trip every single time.
100%. And y'all are hunting antelope, man. I'll tell you what. The more I hunt them, the more I love those things, man. And year was the first year that I got to be a part of a rifle hunt. I've killed them myself with a bow and with muzzleloader, but I actually did a little bit of guiding out in eastern Colorado during rifle antelope. And, man, it was addicting. You know, you'd whack one, you couldn't wait to get back out there the next day. Whack one, couldn't wait to get back out. Like, it was, you know, I didn't have to do the trigger pulling, but it sure as hell felt like it. You know, when you're standing there side by side and, you know, you've kind of concocted the plan to move in on these antelope, and the hunter is able to, you know, sometimes they miss, but when they don't miss, you know, and they drop the goat, it's pretty damn cool, man. But my point in saying that is antelope, they are growing on me.
Dude, they're the freaking coolest. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves too quick, Josh. Real quick before we jump into some stories, man, can you give us a quick little background, man, on you for some of our listeners? One, because I think your story is way cool.
Yeah, so grew up in East Tennessee, just an old country boy, man. Grew up in a little farm town called Ray County, R-H-E-A. Never had any aspirations to play football or anything like that. You know, to kind of make a long story very short, I got talked into playing football in the eighth grade by my gym teacher / middle school football coach, man. We were walking laps one day because that's what we did before we did anything in gym. We walked in sock feet for however many laps, and then you played dodgeball, whatever it was. So we're walking around. All of a sudden, I look to my shoulder, and I see his Coach Cook, still keep in touch with him, great human being. He's like, man, why don't you start working out for us? I'm like, working out for what? What do you mean? He's like, football. I'm like, football? I had never even watched a football game to that point, man, in my life. I mean, I'd seen clips, but I've never sat down and watched the whole football game. I'm like, and I was a big kid, man. In eighth grade, I was already like 6'3 and change, 285 pounds, like big kid. And, you know, so obviously it's like, you know, people back at home, he needs to be playing football. He's big. He needs to play football. He'd be good at football because he's big. Like, for some reason, people think, if he's big, he needs to play football. But they guessed right with this one, man. I just started playing and fell in love with it. And I never had the type of parents to be like, They asked me how I felt about it, and I'm like, I mean, it's all right, I don't really like it, and they weren't the type of parents to be like, well, you're gonna finish, you're gonna, they weren't like that. They're like, well, you don't gotta do it. I'm like, damn, you're right. Like, I could just keep playing baseball. I wouldn't have to do these damn workouts. But I'm like, ah, whatever. Like, let's just keep doing it. And so I did it, man. Played throughout high school and committed to Middle Tennessee. I actually ended up redshirting there at Middle Tennessee. So I was there for 5 years and went undrafted to the Colts very briefly. And then spent two seasons in Green Bay, spent a season in Houston, spent two seasons in Jacksonville. But yeah, man, hunting, man, I mean, that's why I'm on here. It's just I'm enamored with going out in the woods and chasing animals. Coming from Southeast Tennessee, I never would have thought I'd been doing this stuff. But just getting to do it, it's like, man, I feel like a kid out there every day, man. But yeah, that's kind of how I come up. Like I said, Southeast Tennessee guy, and end up getting very, very fortunate. Albeit there was a lot of hard work, but very, very fortunate to play as long as I did in the National Football League. But yeah.
That's so cool, man. I think you, me, and Perry all have something in common, man, all being from Appalachia. I think that's why we think antelope specifically are so damn cool.
They're so cool, man.
I like it out here, man. They're just the coolest.
Yeah, they're so awesome. They look so good on the wall. Like, they're just, yeah. If somebody comes over and they don't know their shit, they're going to be like, what the hell is that? You know what I mean?
And then you got an edge on them.
Yeah, man. Exactly. There you go. 100%.
Well, and I'm no damn expert, but it seems like a lot of Western folks, guys that grew up in the Western hunting world, they almost overlook antelope a little bit. Elk and mule deer and all these other species, all these cool, sheep tags and all this other stuff gets all the hype and all the glory, and antelope are just kind of like an afterthought. But man, Carter and I have talked about this so much, but like I said, coming from back east and just seeing how different they are than the whitetail we're used to, I've had so much fun learning how to hunt antelope, and man, I want to get out there and get after some mule deer and elk too, but antelope's always going to be an arrow in the quiver for me because it's such a fun hunt.
100%, man. I don't ever see myself stopping hunting those antelope, and it is funny, to your point, those guys, it almost seem like they're too good for antelope. Like, I don't antelope hunt, and it's like, dude, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Like, I mean, I think if I've killed 100 of them, I'm still like, damn, I'm pretty fired up for this antelope hunt. And I mean, this is, with a bow and a muzzleloader, I've never myself shot an antelope with a rifle. So I don't know what it's like to ride around and see one at however many hundreds of yards and be like, well, let me get to 500 and shoot him. Like, which I get it. That's not as easy. It's easier said than done. But, man, hunting antelope, I don't know. I don't want to say it's more laid back because I want to feel every tag. I have intentions of feeling every tag I get, but it's kind of a more lax type of deal because, like, finding them isn't hard. Finding them's not as hard as other species, but, the stalk is the most important thing, man. If you can get good, if you can stalk a damn antelope without a decoy and shoot him with an arrow, that's saying something because, there's times you'll get out of the truck to look at them and they're a mile away and they're staring there at you. And, it's the craziest damn thing. It's not like an elk. Not to say elk won't pick you off from a long way, but antelope are different, man. That eyesight is incredible. You can't get away with – there's no room for error on a stalk visually. In the wind, I mean, they smell too. But from a visual standpoint, man, those things are so hard. You got to be so strategic. And that's why I love it, because the plan has to be exactly right. Or you got to get luckier and shit, which happens too. But, like, yeah. The plan – you need to have a great plan, to move in on the antelope, because they are no joke, man.
Well, dude, and if you're, if you're just an Eastern whitetail hunter and you're just going to sit in a tree stand, then there's probably not a whole lot of carryover from learning how to hunt antelope. But if you enjoy that spot and stalk aspect, or if you want to go try your hand at spot and stalk, archery, mule deer or elk or whatever, if you can learn how to stalk an antelope on the open prairie, and you get so many opportunities, because even if you bust them, like, again, you just find another one, or you wait until those move and then you make another play, that learning curve is there. And you start to learn how to stalk and get close to those critters with their eyesight in a landscape that doesn't have a whole lot of natural cover. It will 100% make you a better hunter, period, full stop. And for anyone that disagrees, I don't know what to tell you.
Nah, that's a hell of a point, because the ability to hunt antelope, like, transcends all species. Like you said, if you can stalk a damn antelope, you can stalk anything, man. Now, I get it. scent comes into play a little bit more with other things, but just from the standpoint of tricking one where he ain't gonna see you, oof. Antelope, man. I've heard people that write about the pronghorn antelope being one of the hardest things to kill with a bow in North America, spot and stalk. Like, you know what I mean? Multiple guys are saying this stuff, and like, I get it. I got super lucky this year when I killed mine. I'm sure we'll get into that story later, but got into about 48-ish yards. I didn't range. Long story short, I got in close without a decoy and was able to get it done. But when I tell you I went, y'all got to check it out on YouTube. Got a video up. I went crazy afterwards. I was so glad I filmed myself. So as soon as I shot it and I watched it fall, I pulled my phone out, started recording, and I'm like, I get in kill mode now. Like, I get in that mode when, you know, when you shoot something, you get fired up, man. And that would mean a whole lot to me, you know what I mean? And it was cool. And it's just the first big game animal of the year. You know, that shit hits hard. Like, with a bow, it's like, yeah, like, it's fall. Even though it's August, like, it's fall. It's, let's go, you know?
How strong.
Yeah, man. Like, I mean, I'm not one of those guys that's like a bow purist that like, oh, you killed him with a rifle, that don't count. But I will say this, shooting shit with a bow, that's feeling the gratification, man. Like, God, dog, it's hard to admit it. I think it is a little bit more for me than with a gun. Albeit, I hunt with everything. But when you shoot something with a bow, man, it's, I don't know, it's crazy.
Dude, unpack this hunt for us a little bit. I mean, now's as good a time as ever. Tell folks where you were hunting, lay the scene for us, and let's hear the story.
Yeah, it was incredible, man. So I was down south on a grassland area, and was down there for 5 days, actually. Three and a half of which, I think that's the math, three and a half of which was by myself. I had a buddy of mine come down, Levi Heilman. He came down and hunted for an evening and then a whole day. And actually killed the day he left. I felt so bad because, you know, you want to see one get shot, you know, and he didn't get to see it. But so he came down for a little bit, and we weren't having much luck. We're seeing goats. But, man, I'll tell you what, down there on that public land, they don't make a whole ton of mistakes. I get it. They get killed. But, man, where they bed up and stuff, like, it's like they get chased, you know, for months, which they do. They make a pretty good living down there. And, you know, I finally just got lucky, had two make a mistake. So I go to stalk these goats. I see two goats going down the fence line, and there's cows between us. And when I say cows, I'm talking about 40, 50 head of cattle. And so I'm standing there, and the goats look at me. I'm like, yeah, this shit's done, whatever. So I'm looking at the bucks. I was like, I'd shoot both of those bucks. And for whatever reason, they turn away from me, start going down the fence line, and they're feeding. So I'm like, they're feeding. They're not terrified. Like, what the hell? So I take a knee. Cause I'm like, I don't know, maybe they, I don't know. They didn't seem terrified. So I'm like, all right. So I took a knee, start watching them. They go down the only little spot in the field. They come up the other side, or excuse me, they go in the bottom, and I'm like, well, I can't see them anymore. So I run down there. The cows start going crazy because there's cows in between us. So there's cows running everywhere. Like, I'm like, it was a crazy thing. The cows were going nuts because I literally ran because, you know, the low spot's so short that I wanted to get there if I wanted to be not seen, right? So I'm hauling out. So these cows are just going crazy. So I get there and I get like crouched down, and I walk like 20 yards, duck walk. I look behind me, the whole damn herd of cows is balled up right behind me, like 20 yards. They're farting and shit and like in this big ass ball making all this noise. I'm like, there's no damn way this is going to work. So I get up to like the crest of that low spot, and I look and I see the buck still walking same direction down the fence line. I'm like, yeah, whatever, figured, you know, this wasn't going to work. But then all of a sudden, one of them turns and faces me, and we have a stare down for like 2 minutes. I'm like, well, he sees me. All of a sudden, he puts his head down, starts walking back towards me on that fence line. I'm like, you got to be shitting me. So he gets 30 yards from the other one. The other one looks back at him like, what the hell are we doing? We're supposed to be going this way. And eventually he's like, all right, well, he must be going somewhere smart. So he comes after him. I'm like, holy shit. So I start there, right? Because I got to put that ground back in between us. You know what I mean? Because I crawled to the edge of it. So I'm crawling backwards, and I'm in this little two-track. And or it was a two-track. Looked like it was nothing at that point, but my point is there was like a rut where the grass in the middle of it and the grass on the outside was higher, so it kind of gave me a little bit of like an undulation, right, to hide me a little bit. So I'm kind of crunched down in there, and I'm waiting for like 10 minutes, and I'm about to give up because I'm like, they probably went in the low spot and went left or right, and they just, you know, I wasn't able to see where they came up at, right? Because I'm like, it wouldn't have damn took them 10 minutes to cover 80 yards. There's no damn way. So just as I'm about to back out, I see horn tips coming up the fence. I'm like, holy shit. So I look at my bow. I'm like, all right, I'm on 40 yards. I look at the fence. I'm like, that's probably 40-ish yards. I'm shooting a single pin, so I'm like, fuck it. I drew back. I'm at full draw, because if I would have drew any later, right, I had to draw a horn tips, because if I draw and I see his eyes, I am done. So I saw horn tips. I looked at my bow. I'm like, 40, good enough. Boom, I'm at full draw. All of a sudden, he gets, as soon as his eyes cleared that low spot, he looked right at me, because I'm just crushed down, like, I mean, I'm like 48-ish yards away, crunched down, full draw. He's staring at me. I'm like, yeah, this ain't going to work. Like I said, all I see is his eyes. All of a sudden, he comes closer. I see his neck. I'm like, holy shit. Comes closer. I see a little bit more, but it still wasn't enough for me to shoot. And I'm at full draw for, I don't know, a little bit over 2 minutes or so. But I'm looking at this goat like, this might happen if he takes one more step. He took one more step. I mean, just toasting him. So I put the single pin on his spine because I thought he was a little farther than 40. I didn't know exactly how much, but I was like, that's farther than 40. So I put the my pin like right on his spine and took the bottom of his heart out. So like, if I would have shot where I normally shot, I would have whipped him, shot under him. So I got super lucky there. It's just, I had no other option. Like, when he sent me point tips, I had to draw. Like, yeah, there was no other chance to draw, because I was in the wide ass open. There was some yuccas around, but y'all know that southern shit, like badlands, yuccas, and what are they called, chola cactuses, whatever the hell they're called. Those things around. But anyway, whacked him. So the buck jumps the fence, the bigger buck that was with him. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to wait on him, but he jumps the fence, which was cool to see. And the other one tried to jump. He gets tangled up in the fence. I'm like, oh, fuck, I run up there, put another arrow in. I'm about to shoot him. And I think just him hearing and seeing me run at him gave him, like, enough adrenaline. He was like, oh, hell no. He, like, rolls out of the fence, takes off hauling ass, and I'm like, damn, he don't look hurt. And I'm looking, and I don't see blood. I'm like, that thwomp, you know, is unmistakable. So I look, I see a little bit of blood coming down his chest, and all of a sudden he coughs up blood, and you know, and I'm like, oh, he's toast. So he literally just stands there, starts doing a drunken stagger, and I'm like, go down. And he just went down. But I mean, tell him, he went like, I don't know, 100 yards with a hole in his heart. So tough dudes. I mean, he ran into the fence and rolled out of the fence, and you know, got to like 80. And again, I mean, I figured I'd shot him because the sound and then the fact he got hung up in the fence like that. But when he ran off like an antelope that was just like running off. I was like, what? But then he stopped and I looked at him. I'm like, oh, no. He's done. So super cool hunt, man.
Dude, that's awesome. What kind of broadhead did you shoot him with?
Iron Wheels, baby.
Hell yeah.
The invented 100s, man. It zipped through him, went in the sand behind him, man. I mean, it was those things perform flawlessly from my experience. I tell you that right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've always been curious whether, you know, expandables versus fixed blades is obviously a huge debate in the whitetail world. But I've always been curious what guys primarily use for antelope, just because you do have those longer shots and they're so damn fast. But yeah, that's awesome, man. Spot and start archery kill.
No decoy, got into like high 40s-ish range. It was awesome. But, you know, going to the broadhead debate, and Iron Will's been very good to me, but I will be real and say this, you know, I think there's not as much to it, and I know those super arrowhead junkies are going to, like, go crazy. But, I mean, if you stay off the shoulder and you shoot the animal at the proper angle, like, it don't take no crazy ass, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, it really doesn't. You know, so I think it's more about shot placement than anything. But I do get, like, at long range, there's a difference. There's a difference when you start talking about 70-plus and stuff like that. And that's why, you know, I really, really like those Iron Wheels, because, you know, a lot of times you got to tune when you use those fixed heads. And I screwed that damn thing in like a field point, and it shoots like a field point. You know, the only thing I will say is there's a little bit more noise than I'm used to. But, I mean, that's a vented broadhead. So, yeah, other than that, they've been flawless, man.
Oh, there
it
is.
Is that the guy right there?
Yeah, there he is, man. Golly, that was a cool day. 102 degrees. It was hotter than hell.
Golly.
And look how low the shot was. I got lucky, man. Look at that shot. Bottom of the heart.
Yeah, you toasted his heart.
Yeah, I took his heart out at the bottom. But, I mean, I had my – right at the top of the white patch is where I was holding on to him with that single pin. Yeah, man. So – I'm glad I did it, because I just looked at that goat, and if you've seen several of them, you know how small they are. But I saw him, and I was like, man, I think that's farther than 40, dude. So I held up there on him. God, that was a cool day. All that self-taking stuff, I remember that moment, man. By yourself, it's hot as hell. I got the tripod set up. I'm taking these pictures, hauling ass, trying to get the meat back, you know, because that's the most important thing. And I just remember that day being incredible, man, because I was about to be not giving up, but I was losing hope. I'm just going to tell you, day five that morning, it wasn't going good. Finally, at about 11-ish a.m., I think, or noonish or something, is when I was able to get on him and get it done. But man, I'll never forget that one, man. I will never forget that
Especially
one.
with that heat, man. That heat will
Oh, it
make
was
you
brutal. It was brutal,
double-think
man.
everything.
Well, there's tarantulas out there. It's freaking prairie rattlesnakes. I mean, it's some crazy terrain. Like, there's tarantula hawks. If you don't know what a tarantula hawk is, look it up. It's a pretty ferocious wasp. You should look up Coyote Peterson. He stung himself with one, and like he hit
Hold
the
up,
ground,
Paul.
couldn't move his arm. Like, yeah, like it was bad. He said, I think it's like second on his list right now in an insect but sting deal. But nah, he was hurting. And anyway, they were flying in my blind my first year when I was hunting down there in 2019. That's when I killed my first antelope. And they were flying in my blind, and I just thought it was like a dirt daub or something. So I'm swatting them with my bare hand, and yeah, there they are right there. That's him. So I'm swatting them with my bare hand, and I look them up. I go to town. I go
That
into
thing's
the local
huge.
town to a, yeah, man, go to a little gas station, and I look it up, and I'm like, hold on, this is what I was swatting with my bare hand. They sound like a helicopter, man. Yeah, tarantula hawk. So it's crazy. They sting tarantulas, they paralyze them, and then they'll lay their eggs in the tarantula. The tarantula's still alive, it's just paralyzed. The babies come out, and they'll eat the tarantula.
That's
Like,
crazy.
while it's alive,
Nature is
yeah.
metal, man. Nature is
Yeah,
metal.
man. Yeah.
That's
They're
savage.
pretty cool deals. But now I'm terrified of them. Like, ignorance is bliss, I guess, because when I didn't know they were crazy, I was like, yeah, look at these damn dirt daubers. Like, I'm swatting them. I don't give a shit. Now I see them, I'm like, oh God, I could not get tagged by one of these damn things.
Josh,
That's awesome.
you mentioned being concerned about the meat and that 100-degree weather. How was it? I mean, settled that, we've heard from back east that antelope aren't that great to eat. Settle it for folks. How do they taste?
Perry, I've ate a lot of wild shit, and antelope is right up there in the top two as far as my favorite wild game meat to eat. And that one I killed in 102 degrees was no different than any of the other ones. It was outstanding, tender. The only problem with antelope is they're so damn small.
Not much of
I
them to
mean,
go around.
that's, man, when I tell you that, people are always like, make some sausage, yeah, make some sausage. And it's like, oh, like the grain is outstanding. Like the steaks are outstanding. Like, they put in the sausage. It's like, no, man. Like, if you get that thing took care of, like, you could eat it just like a white-tailed deer, just like an elk. You cut it up, cut it into steaks, all that stuff. Antelope is outstanding, man. My old lady even likes it. Like, it's. It gets they get I mean they don't last long at all. It's about like having four or five turkeys, like, and it just they go quick, man.
That's the truth, man. My first one I killed, I didn't get the hide off quick enough, and it was warm, kind of like you're talking about. Not 100, but it was warm, and I kind of goofed around, and we drove around with the hide on it, and wasn't quick enough, man. And it tasted real barnyardy. When I brought it
I've
home,
heard, I've heard.
my wife and I were like, "Damn, that's just strong shit, man." And so she was dubious when we went back out again, and I was too. And this one's phenomenal because
Yes, man.
I was so intense about it. I was like, "We got to get it, got to get the hide off,
Yes.
cut it off in, half hour." But oh, it's incredible! It's unbelievable.
That you brought up a good word, barnyardy. So I went on my first bighorn sheep hunt this year. I did not have the tag, I just tagged along, and I was let down. Now, albeit we did like an 11-mile day, the last day to pack him out. We get back to the truck. My buddy's got a little grill, and we put the tenderloin on the grill, just like some shake-on seasoning. There was hair on it. Our hands were disgusting, so I'm thinking that the meat care came into play there. But that tenderloin was pretty barnyardy, man. I was like, damn. Like, I was expecting, because people are like, go get some sheep ribs. Bring damn sheep ribs. So the tenderloin got to be good. But and it probably would have been if taken care of properly, so on and so forth. But like, just as soon as we got back to the truck with it, we're like, hell yeah, let's cook some of this damn sheep. I mean, who the hell, you know what I mean? Eating a damn sheep, who the hell's done that? So we get back and we cook his damn thing up, and man, I was not impressed. Was not impressed.
Especially after such a difficult animal to hunt.
Oh, it was brutal, man. It was brutal. That
How'd you
scream,
go?
man. Whew.
Where were you chasing the sheep?
Up in northern Colorado.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they were. My buddy had actually the only tag in that unit actually.
Yeah, talk about a tough tag to draw, man.
Tough tag to draw. He got lucky. He drew it with very, very few points. He was luckier than hell. And I was actually in the backcountry solo hunting cow elk, and I got a message on my inReach. He's like, dude, I know you're out. My buddy said, I know you're out chasing elk. He's like, but Chad's got a sheep tag. This is, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You know, if you want to come out, you're more than welcome. And I didn't say nothing for like 10 minutes. I'm like, damn, am I in sheep shape? Because, you know, that's all you hear about, right? Fucking the sheep, whatever. So I'm like, damn. But then I was like, God, dog, you're soft as fuck. Like, fucking hit him up and say, I'll be there. So I hit him up. I'm like, dude, send me the pin. I'll be there in the morning. Sent me the pin. Boom. I get in there, and the rest is history. The whole thing's on film. You can go check it out. I just dropped a YouTube video today. It's called Shootout in the Cirque. It was a crazy deal. He missed a lot. Like, he missed like six times. Y'all got to see this. He missed like six times with a rifle. And we were still able to get on these sheep and get him around. But it's kind of crazy to see, man. Like, you can imagine, like, our dismay, if you will, like when he was missing, because it's like if they go over the ridge and they just clear country, like who knows if there's even any more sheep around. There's a reason there's only one dead tag, but you know what I mean. So we're like, damn, like this is kind of do or die. So we just got lucky as hell. Them sheep just kept staying up high and kept giving us opportunities. All the shots were, you know, very, very ethical. But yeah, you know, that's the thing. You know, you see guys miss, and you know, people will be commenting, oh, I can't believe you took those shots. It's like, number one, fuck you. Number two, it's like, dude, this is a sheep hunt. This guy's trying to fill his sheep tag as ethically as possible, and all the shots, the sheep were stopped. He was just a little excited and he missed some shots, and that's part of it. That's real hunting, and that's why I was excited to put it up, because it's real hunting, man. And that's all I'm about. That's all I like to surround myself with, is people that are real as well, and they ain't trying to do everything for the IG and all that shit. But it's real hunting, man.
What elevation were you at, and do you think that played a role in the misses?
So it was only like, I don't know, 11, 8 or something like that. It wasn't one of those crazy 13, 14ers or anything like that. But yeah, the gain every day and loss was still legit. But yeah, it wasn't one of those 13,000 foot mountain ranges or anything like that.
Gotcha.
We camped just at tree line. You can see on the video, I mean, literally the last set of trees before it turns to tundra. We camped there and we kind of went up and kind of was running rims throughout the day, just looking for rams. I actually had a chance to drop in and an elk hunt myself for my cow tag there. It's a OTC area, and wasn't successful. Found some fresh piles of sign, but I wasn't able to turn up any. But yeah, look at that in the shell. I mean, it was as bighorn of a bighorn hunt as it could have been. I mean, that thing rolled down the rock cliffs. Here's us eating lunch. Look at this. Let that play a little bit. Watch this here, just in like 5 seconds. So this is us cooking. Look at that sheep right there.
Oh, man.
We're cooking it up. That next part, let it roll to the next scene. Look at this. This is the best scene in the whole thing right here. Look at that.
Has he been gutted yet?
We did it gutless. So this is about 15 minutes after we shot him.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we were just getting some really good pictures.
Now, with those sheep hunts, right, you're counting the annuli on the horns, right, to make sure they're the right age class?
Yeah, I want to say the rule is it has to be half curl here. Don't quote me on that. It's got to be something. I'm not sure. But yeah, that's how you age them, is the annuli. And there was actually a bigger ram in there that we were trying to kill. But, you know, mistakes happen. But there was a bigger ram in there. He was a tank of a ram. We also saw a big old moose in there, like a buck moose, like a huge moose. He was awesome. He looked like a freaking, what's a giant, those horses, Clydesdale, like a giant Clydesdale standing there, like huge. And he had just rubbed his velvet off, so his horns were like red. I mean, he looked freaking badass. I wish I would have had a camera.
What's the process of...
Go ahead, Barry.
I was going to ask, what's the process of finding the sheep? Is it just hours and hours of glassing, just beat and feed, or a combination?
Yeah, that's what it is. And Chad had it figured out. Chad had been in there living for like a week or something before season. He knew where those rams were, you know what I'm saying, in the general vicinity. And so it was just on us to get one killed, because we were literally only in there for 2 days. And it just worked out so well because he knew where those sheep in the vicinity where they were going to be. We actually, our stomachs dropped because we walked in and we walked past them. They're below us and, you know, we think we saw everything and we keep walking. We walk probably 3/4 of a mile and we're glassing back and there they are. We walk right past them. Had no clue. They obviously had no clue, but moved in on them again. And, you know, you see on the video, I think the first shot was at like 5-something and Chad's practice out there. He got a little fired up, but in the end, he was able to get it done. But man, yeah, the process of the whole sheep hunt, number one, Chad had it all figured out, but it was cool for me because it was my first one to get to see how it's done. I mean, you're literally all day, you're up in that shaley knife ridge, like just what you see on TV. That's why it was so cool because I'm looking around, I'm like, damn, like I'm doing this shit. Like, look at this, like top of the world, man. Like it was ptarmigan country. You know what I'm saying? We're seeing ptarmigan and shit.
No way.
Yeah, it was awesome, man.
Is there any stress involved when you're trying to make sure the ram is the right age class? Like, I imagine everybody's glassing and counting, and like that's something you don't want to screw up, right? That
seems right, 100%, man. Especially when you know
shooting an antelope, you know.
Yeah, I mean, think about the weight that Chad had on him, right? Like, he's a guy with the tag. It's like, if those things clear country, what does he do? Like, they go to the next unit. I mean, you're done. Like, if those sheep are in the unit, I mean, there may not have been another band of sheep. I don't know. He didn't know. So, man, we were all feeling like we were him because, you know, we know me and my other buddy, Cody and Seth, that were there. We know the weight of drawing that tag. So we're all like, damn, man, like, we've got to get this dude a sheep, man. Because, number one, we were all about to have to leave and do our own thing. So he'd have been up here by himself and stuff like that. So it ended up working out perfect.
That's freaking awesome. I'm stoked to go watch that video.
Yeah, it was a cool hunt, man. You gotta check it out. It was, shit got crazy there for a minute, man. My buddy Cody, he was a guide in his former life. And, you know, as Chaz having all these miscues, he started to be like, what are we doing? Like, at one point, he shoots like literally 20 foot over this thing's back. He had turned the turret the wrong damn way.
Oh, my God.
So you can see on the video, it's through the fog, like 20 foot high. And you can hear me go, that's high. Real high. My buddy's like, turn the fucking turret the wrong way. He's like, no. He's like, I swear to God, you did, because you were 25. I was talking about got everything, man. Like, it was a tense ordeal, man.
Wow. Props to him for being able to recover.
Yeah. He ended up getting it done.
Is that a bucket list opportunity for you, man?
Oh, it was incredible, man. And I'm hoping that, you know, if I'm blessed and fortunate enough to be able to live, you know, for a while more, that won't be the last one. But, man, I hope that there's more of that in my future. And it was definitely a bucket list thing. I never would have thought I'd have been touching a bighorn sheep. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to see him on the side of the road licking salt. But to like actually put your hands on one, like it was, and in the place where it was at, y'all seen the little clip, like you're on the shell field or a scree field in the middle of BFE with the boys, you know, cooking up peak refuel, the sheep laying there on the hill, sun beating off his friggin' rack or whatever the hell you want to call it, his horns. Man, all the pain just like fades, at least for a little bit. It just fades because you're like, damn, it's done. Because I would have hated to have left there and, like, left Chad up there by himself. Not that he would have hated that, you know, or anything like that. But I was like, man, I want to see this dude get a sheep. Number one, for him. Number two, I want to see that shit.
Were you in sheep shape?
Oh, yeah, it was good, man. I did a lot better than I even expected. It was probably just more adrenaline. And I'm just like, I'm a tight dude. If I see somebody doing something, I'm like, fuck, if he's doing it, I can do it. So, like, you know, I was always like second or third in line, and I would just look in front of me, and they were moving, so I would move. And
I feel that.
And I think that's just that sports mentality. Because I'll be honest with you, I've taken guys and been with guys that teach his own, whatever, you know, you're looking for the experience. But some guys just don't want to. You know, you'll hear a bugle down in some crusty crevice, and it's like, I ain't going down there. And it's like, why the hell not? Like, what do you mean? Let's go shoot this damn thing, and then we'll get him out somewhere or another. Maybe it takes longer than we think. Maybe we'll be up all night, but who cares?
Yep. Yeah, it's a blessing to be out there anyways, right?
100%, man. Just being in the woods. I'm telling you, this year is the most I've spent solo in a tent in my whole life. And like the thoughts that you have out there, man, the sounds that you hear that you can't explain out there, man, you might think you're just go in the middle of the backcountry, man, and spend a couple days out there, a couple weeks out there, and you learn a shit ton about yourself, man, not only as a hunter, but just period, man, because the shit you start thinking about out there is crazy, man.
Did you say you did some guiding this year?
I did. I did some guiding out east with my buddy Alex for rifle antelope and did two mule deer hunts.
How was that? Was that your first guiding experience, or had you done some previous?
Yeah, you know, I've obviously taken guys just for, as buddies, you know, but this was my first experience doing it, you know, I guess professionally, if you will. But yeah, it was a cool experience, and I was able to kill several antelope. Actually, probably the coolest experience was I had a guy, 61 years old, guy named Bob. He's from California, owns a painting company, outstanding dude. Former offensive lineman, actually, so we had a shit ton to talk about, you know what I mean? So the truck rides were never dull. And so he comes out and said, Bob, be honest with me, man, how far you think you can walk? He's like, Josh, I'll walk wherever you tell me to walk. And I'm like, all right. So we get in there and we find a goat. He's a long ways away. This is day one. Actually, we went out the first afternoon and got on a goat, but it didn't work out. Sun went down, so on and so forth. So the first morning of the hunt, we go out and see a good goat a long ways away. I'm like, Bob, can you do it? He's like, hell yeah. I'm like, hell yeah. So I take off and like, I'm long legged and, you know, I get fired up. So I'm hauling ass kind of, I guess. And I look back and Bob's way back there and I'm like, damn it. Like, I've got to like, you know, you've got to choke it down as hard as it was for me. Cause I hunt pretty fast and I hunt very hard. And, you know, Bob's 61 years old, right? So it's like, you got to keep the hunter in mind. So I slowed down and he catches up with me and, we end up making our way up to the antelope and we get like 700 yards. And I was like, Bob, I hate to tell you this, but we're going to have to bear crawl or belly crawl, buddy. He's like, really? I was like, yeah, like we're like 700 right now. I'm going to try to get you to 5. He's like, all right. I'm like, all right. I was like, just follow right behind me. Like, if I go to the right, go to the right as soon as I do. Like, stay between me and this damn goat. So there's a bunch of high sunflowers out there because they had a lot of moisture out there this year. And there's a bunch of dead sunflowers out there. And we had to belly crawl through a patch of sunflowers. And then we couldn't go any farther because there was no more sunflowers. So he would have just saw us and been done. So we get to the edge. I get him up there. I was like, so you feel good at 500? He's like, yeah, I shot it. I know what it does. I'm like, all right. He's like, yeah, the bullet should drop 22 inches, whatever the hell it is. Anyway, he's doing holdovers. He's not doing the turrets or anything. I'm like, fuck, all right. So he's like, the damn thing's laying there asleep. He's like, do I shoot him laying here? I'm like, hell no. I'm like, are you sure? I'm like, yes, I'm sure. So we lay there for an hour on this damn thing, on our bellies, just laying there. Finally, damn thing stands up. I'm like, how you feel? He's like, I'm all right. I'm like, what do you mean you're all right? It's 500 yards. Are you good? He's like, yeah, I'm solid. I said, all right. I was like, let that damn trigger surprise you. Like right between his freaking knees, like low. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, you're low, buddy. He's like, really? I'm like, yes. So they ran like 60 yards. They can't tell where the shot come from. I'm like, dude, you need to come up higher, like another foot and a half. Like, you're low, low. He's like, all right. Sends another one. He was like 5 inches low. I'm like, still low, still low. So they bound off like another 30 yards. They have no idea what's going on. I'm like, let's try it one more time, dude. They're at like 585. He's like, yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm all right. Let's try it. I was like, get steady. At this point, they're just like looking around, right? I'm like, all right, get steady. I'm like, dude, hold that thing 3 foot over his back and let it go. He's like, 3 feet. I'm like, hold it 3 foot over his back. He was like 2 inches high. I was like, damn. And I was like, dude, that's it. I was like, that's it, man. That's too far. I was like, that's too damn far. So, you know, we were all dismayed about that or whatever. So we're walking back. And we get up to the edge of this rise, and I look. I'm like, ooh, get down, get down, get down, get down, get down, get down. Big buck, like low 80s, probably like big buck, like black corns, like stupid buck. I'm like, there is a giant buck bigger than the one you just shot at. He's like, really? I was like, yeah. I was like, we had to haul ass and get in this wash. We have to get in this wash. They're going to see us. We're going to be skyline for like 3 seconds, but just get as low as you can, man. Like, just please get as low as you can. So I like scurry across and glass him back, and they had no clue. And he like pretty much is, you know, he's an older guy. So he's like standing straight up, walks through. I'm like, oh my God. So I look and like, thank God we had a shady patch. And of course they're looking at us. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, let's just slide over here and get in this wash. Like, we may be done. So we get in the wash and they're staring at us for like 30 minutes. Finally, they heard something behind them. They all look back and like they just laid there, and then it's kind of like they forgot because that something else just distracted them and they just forgot. So I'm like, we might be all right. So we go down the wash, start going up the hill. I look back at Bob. He's red as a damn tomato, man, fucking pouring sweat. I'm feeling bad. I'm like, I do not want this dude to have a heart attack. Like, holy shit. I was like, how you feel? He's like, I'm good. I'm like, you don't look good. He's like, I'm good. I'm like, God, dog it. I was like, all right, man. Well, this is the fourth quarter, brother. I was like, if you can give me everything you got, we can get to the top of this hill relatively quick. We'll shoot this damn thing at 100. He's like, you think we can get to 100? I said, I guarantee you we can get to 100 yards. Boom. Scurry up this hill. There's a road at the top, like a dirt two-track. I stop him. I'm like, stay here. So I go over the cusp of the hill. I look. I'm like, holy shit. There they were, like 80 yards. I'm like, holy shit. They're like behind these sunflowers. So I, you know, do the little, I wave him in. I'm like, come on. Comes in. Set the sticks up. Now, Bob's like 6'3". Gets on the sticks. I'm like, you see him? He's like, no, I don't see him. I'm like, what do you mean you don't see him? He's right there, broadside looking at us. Like, they knew we were there. I'm like, he's right there, broadside looking at us. He's like, what? I'm like, what? He's like, I got sunflowers. I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. So I'm like, all right, dude, you're gonna have to put the gun on my damn shoulder, man. I'll raise up higher than the sticks will go. So he puts the gun on my shoulder. I'm like, dude, just let me know before you're about to. Right in my ear, dude. And I see the report. Like, I see where the bullet hits behind his goat. Dude, he's got a muzzle brake on there. It was bad. Like, my ears were, it was bad. So I look and I see it was high. I was like, dude, you're high. He's like, impossible. I'm like, no, like, you were high. I'm just telling you. And he was high, and that goat stopped at like 400 yards. And all we could see was from like the white patch to his head. And he was there with like 18 does just staring at us. I was like, dude, you did not touch that thing. But the next day, get in there, and we get within 250 yards of a good buck. Actually, started out, there's a dinker, and we're climbing up the hill. I was like, let me make sure there's nothing else with him. Go to climb up the hill. He, like, grabs me on my shoulder. He's like, look. And I look, and there's two bucks, two good bucks, like, ruddy as hell, running each other. They had no clue we were there. Like, they had no clue. They were dumb as shit because they're ruddy. They're, like, chasing each other through the sunflowers. I'm like, holy shit. And I look, I was like, oh, we ain't going to shoot that one. But then I look at the other one. I'm like, oh, Bob, get ready. Boom, lay him down. I'm like, 250. He's like, 250. I'm like, yep. I was like, hold right there in that armpit. You know what I'm saying? Mid-body, right behind the shoulder. Dropped him. 250. So, yeah, it was cool. It worked out. He got a good goat. But, yeah, he missed one, and then he missed another one in the same day. But then that next morning, he got it done early. It's always good to shoot something early in the morning. Then he got the whole day. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's love shooting stuff in the morning.
Yeah, 100%. Dude, that's awesome. I bet he was pumped.
Oh, he was fired up, man. And we really hit it off, man. I'm supposed to be going out there chasing animals and stuff, and hopefully he'll come back out here and do the same. But it's cool, you know. You a lot of times you strike up a cool deal with those hunters, man. They're like, come out and hunt my place, blah blah blah. You know, you show them a good time, put them on an animal, and it doesn't even take the putting them on an animal. It just takes the showing them that, you know, you're giving everything you got, you know what I mean? But it's been cool. I don't want to jinx myself, but I'm on a good streak, let's put it to you like that, when it comes to the guiding. So I'm hoping that it continues.
That's a good testament to your skills and kind of your woodsmanship, man. It's a totally different ballgame helping somebody else and talking them on to an animal, and keeping them calm, and like, when he's looking through the sunflowers and you're like, he's right there and he can't get on them. Like, it's easy to get flustered, right, and not capitalize on the situation. So that's a good testament to your skills, man. That's a cool kind of different perspective to go from the hunter to the guide.
That's a great point you said right there, of different perspective, man. It's a whole new perspective, because it's like, you can only do so much, like, from the standpoint of getting somebody in the position to shoot and – tell him it's a shooter, and like, you know, it's weird to just be like, God, I hope he kills this damn thing, because that's my job, right? I'm trying to get you an animal, you know what I mean? So I'm like, come on, man, like, you hate to put him in position and, you know, they kind of mess it up, you know, but shit happens. But it is a whole different perspective, man. And I'll be brief about the last mule deer I was guiding, man. Long story short, it was the third morning, and we're walking down this finger ridge, and so the way it lies, if you go all the way to the point of this finger ridge, you're going to be skylined. You're like a turd in a punch bowl. You cannot go past it. Now, 20 yards short of the point, there's like some juniper bushes. So I strategically was like, hey, guys, let's get in these bushes. Let's glass from here. Don't go to the edge, because everything's going to see us. Well, the guy that shot, both their names was Todd and Todd Jr. Todd shot. Todd had his dad there, 67 years old. Good guy there from Michigan. But I told him, I was like, don't go past these bushes. So I'm glassing and I hear crunch, 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 rocks. Of course, he goes past the bushes and is glassing. I'm like, holy shit. So, you know, you gotta, you know, you don't wanna be like, hey, you fucking idiot, what are you doing, right? Like, it's like, you're just like, what are we doing? Like, come on, man. So I look at him, he's got these huge eyes. He looks back at me and he does this right here. He was like, fucking, I'm like, stop moving, because he's going like this. He's standing on this, the finger is going like this. And I'm like, stop. I'm like, I take my hands like this. I was like, just stop. I was like, where is he? And he like pointed right there. He's like, he's right there. He said it loud as hell. And I'm like, oh my God. And so I go to the edge of the bush and I look down. Sure enough, at like 50 yards at the bottom of this ridge, there's a big body buck. I can't see his horn size, but I can see like his forehead and I can see his gut and I can see his back. Mature buck. And he's looking at us. I can tell by the way his horns are like pointing. I'm like, holy shit. Of course he's looking at us. We got somebody doing jumping jacks over here on the finger ridge right here. Of course he's looking at us. So I'm looking, I'm like, holy shit. So I look at his son and I like wave him in. I'm like, come here. And I like put my hand up. I'm like, don't make a sound. Because he has no clue how close this deer is, right? And I ain't got time to tell him. But I'm like, just don't make a sound. So I think he can kind of tell by that. He's like, that fucker's got to be close. So he comes in there and I peek around again. I don't see him. Instantly, I'm like, because I know he didn't walk away because I could see through the bush quite a bit. I knew he was running. So I scurried to the other side of the bush. I got the sticks. I look up. Sure enough, I see a white butt bounding off. I'm like, fuck, set the sticks down, pull my binos up. I see him put the gun up there. I'm like, you want him? He's like, yep. And I got a video of this. I'm like, you see him? Yep. Right behind the shoulder when you're ready. Stopped him. He turns and looks back. Dropped him. Didn't even move. Double lung, like liquefied his lungs, both sides. Like high lung. That high lung shot is devastating. Didn't touch the spine at all, but high lung got both of them, like liquefied them. But just dropped that buck, and it was just incredible because I thought I ain't gonna lie, I would have been a little salty if we'd have been screwed by Todd on that finger ridge. I'll be honest with you. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I told you not to do that, man. I literally told you not to do that. Why? Because of what just happened. But I mean, that dude walked out right up because we were hidden from the bush. That deer would have walked the way he was walking before we got seen. He would have walked right out in front of us at like 80 yards, not having a clue. We were just sitting there. We didn't see that deer walked out at 80 yards right below us, but all of a sudden, bang.
I'm like,
stop, man. That deer was on to us, man. I saw how he was standing. You know, like just really like in an athletic position, ready to bound out of there. Like, I'm like, this ain't fucking gonna work. And it didn't work. We just got lucky. He was curious enough that that whistle stopped him. He turned. I'm talking about he turned completely. And I'll have to send you the video. But I whistled at him. And he just boom, dropped 238 off the sticks. 238 yards off the sticks.
That's a hell of a shot.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
That was his first buck. 35 years old. First buck right there.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I just put it up today. I think it's on my story, actually.
Awesome.
Of Todd. He's a guy from Fort Worth, good family, brought his dad out. Pretty sure he's a Fort Worth guy, but now he put in some good effort and it paid off.
Yeah, that's a good deer.
Yeah, it's a good buck. We were on a 4x2, man, the day before. It was crazy. So long story short, glass him up. I mean, in a bush. I was so fired up to make the spot and do a huge circle, get him in there, lay him down. We're laid down on his deer for, I don't know, probably 1 hour and 25 minutes. And get him laid down in the prone position. Yeah, there's a buck.
Damn.
Tall. Yeah, he wasn't very beamy. You see his beams kind of good. He was a good one to shoot. You know what
He's
I mean?
Cool,
he,
man.
Yeah, cool buck. He goes straight up.
Yeah.
But so I get him laid down, literally like 100 yards from where that picture was taken. But get him laid down, and this 4x2 is dead asleep. I'm talking about head in the dirt. And I'm like, he's done. I mean, 189 yards. We lay on him. So he's like, how long are we going to lay here? I was like, buddy, as long as it takes, man, because all we can see is his head and neck. I was like, it might be a while. I was like, you can get comfortable. You know what I mean? And so we're watching this deer, and I'm just watching his shade patch disappearing. I'm like, at any time. I was like, probably a half hour when that shade hits him in the – when that sun hits him in the face, he's going to walk around that tree, and we're going to have a little window. We're going to have to get it done. So, boom, his ass starts to get in the sun. His horn tips get in the sun. That sun hit him in the face. It was not long. He stands up. He only gave us like 5 seconds, but Ty wasn't quite ready. I'm like, you want him? And I see him nestling in. I'm like, because I knew he was about to turn. Sure enough, he turns and walks behind that tree and goes into a group of other trees. But a real short window, but that 4x2 was a freak. Like old, ancient, like 7+ year old, like just a piece of shit. Like, oh, one of those deer, like none of the other deer want to be in the field with. You know what I mean? Like, they're just like, whoa, like this fucker is like 8 years old. Like, Jesus. Yeah, one of those deer. Like, he was so freaky. I wanted that damn deer so bad. He got a great buck, but oh, that 4x2 was sick. He was kind of like a bladed, like his side only had two. He had like a baby brow, but then his two was like a blade with like a turkey foot at the top. It was the weirdest shit, man. Then he had the, you know, he had his three and it was real wide and long. Like, he was a freaky buck.
Josh, if I ever write a book, I want you to narrate my audiobook.
Sign me up, buddy.
Would you sign me up?
I would be more than happy, buddy. I ain't kidding you.
That would make me really happy.
Hey, listen, I can talk hunting all damn night, man.
I love it, man.
It's been a hell of a season so far, and, you know, there's still a lot of stuff to hunt. But, man, September is gone, which is weird every year when that comes and goes. It don't matter if you shoot one or not. Because, God, dog, you look back at your videos and pictures, and you're like, holy shit, that is so far away from now.
What you got on the docket the rest of the season, man?
I got Missouri whitetail. I got to go back to Kansas again. I went down there once. Didn't have a mature buck show up. Was in a lot of deer. My buddy's got a place down there called Verdigris Valley. It's an outstanding place if anybody's looking to shoot whitetail. It's actually my first guided hunt. When I say guided, you know, it's outfitted. There's tree stands. He tells you where to go. So it was weird for me, man. I told him, no, I'm like, you're not touching my damn deer. I'm cleaning my damn deer. I've never let another man touch my damn deer. Nothing against anybody that does that shit. But I was like, just know that. Like, I'm going to go wherever you tell me to go, which is weird. But it was cool. I was in deer. It was insane. Like, deer all over the place. Just nothing came close enough. But I got Florida whitetail in January with a rifle with my good buddy. Then I've got mule deer out east here as well. It's an archery plains tag, so I've got plenty of time, you know, so I may just wait till it gets really good. But man, those late season archery hunts are, those things are a freaking grind. Late season, it doesn't make a shit if it's a bow or not. Like, even last year in Fourth Rifle, I remember being out there and it was so damn cold. I was like, man, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not even enjoying this shit that much right now. Like, that shit, you know, when you get that damn cold where you're like, this shit ain't even fun right now. Beard frozen, and there's, you can't find warmth, right? You only got what you got. So, you know, you can start a fire, which helps, and we do that. But, like, you get to a point where you're like, holy shit.
I have my first elk hunt on Sunday, my first elk hunt ever. It's a fourth rifle hunt in Colorado. I'm going with Luke and Cole. It's Cole and I's first elk hunt, man. I think we're going
to... Oh, shit. That's going to be awesome, man. That's going to be awesome. Have y'all looked at the forecast?
Yeah, it looks cold.
How cold?
Garrett, our buddy Garrett's guiding there right now at Bear Creek. He says the high's been like 18.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that's cold. Yep. That is cold, buddy.
But it's Colorado. Anything can happen.
Oh, that's cool, though. But the good thing about the cold is... You know, when it's cold, at least I'm always expecting I'm going to see animals. Whereas, like, early season whitetail or shit like that, when it's hot, you're like, damn, I ain't going to see shit till it gets cold.
Yeah.
So I feel like the confidence is higher in the cold. But one thing I don't like is post-hauling in the snow, man. I really, really do not enjoy that. But you got to do it sometimes, man. Like, I see some of those hunts Brady Miller goes on, and I'm like, I don't think people understand, like, the difficulty of what he's doing out there. In that floorless shelter with his stove, post-hauling the whole way, you know, and maybe it gets over-gritified. I'm not there the whole time. Maybe it's only a patch. Hey, maybe it's the whole time. I don't know, but who am I to say it's not? But, man, those late-season hunts, hey, man, I'm telling you, I'd rather be in the heat than in that shit you're about to probably be in. But it's good hunting, and I do it every year. I end up either with my own tag or going with somebody. But woof, they get brutal.
Yeah, it helps to be part mountain goat like Brady.
Exactly, exactly.
Dude, that post hole, and especially when you're climbing elevation, it'll burn some calories, dude. You lose weight. You get a fucking eat all day and make sure you're hydrated. That's an energy suck right there.
Oh, 100%. And then when you're 280 pounds, like, you sink through everything. So, yeah, it sucks. Even with snowshoes on, sometimes it's like, I feel like these should be holding me up higher. Shit.
Josh, is that Florida hunt? Is that a late season rut hunt down there in Florida, or would they already?
Oh, they might have a little secondary rut rolling in. That'll be literally the last like 5 days of the season, which I think is like 15th ish or so, around January, somewhere in there. But I go down there every year and at least hunt ducks and stuff like that. But we're definitely doing deer this year. My buddy's got it pre-figured out. I was like, dude, I'd love to at least come shoot some does. If you got a mature buck, I'll shoot that. And he's got some mature bucks, so at least I'm hopefully gonna pop some does, if nothing else, and shoot some hogs, because that's a kind of an overlooked species from the standpoint of spot and stalk with a bow. It's fun shooting them with anything, but with a bow, spot and stalk hog, it's fun.
You done a lot of that?
I have, man. Those hogs, you can get away with a lot more movement early morning, late at night. Their eyesight's real bad. You can get away with a lot of movement if you got the wind right. And so my point is, you can stalk up on those things, man, if you do it right.
Hell yeah. That's awesome, dude. Well, we wish you good luck the rest of the season, man. Stoked to hear all about it, man. Maybe we should reconnect in January once things wind down and we can swap some more stories.
Hey, let's do it. I ought to have plenty for you, man. So I'd be down with that for sure.
Hell yeah. And where can folks go see these videos that you're putting out, man?
Yeah, so on IG, it's High Country Jaywalk. I think it's High Country_Jaywalk, J-W-A-L-K. And that's the same for my YouTube page. Pretty sure it's High Country Jaywalk or Retired to Hunt. I think it's High Country Jaywalk, but, you know, I've got the podcast Retired to Hunt. It's going well, and about to get back on schedule with that because season's somewhat winding down for me a little bit, and I can get back and edit some shit up and put some stuff out and do some more episodes. But man, it's tough for me to get over that hump of like caring more about the show than hunting. You know what I'm saying? And if I'm serious about doing this shit, it's like, I got to do it. But man, it's so hard. I'm nonstop. But you know, like I said, if this is what I want to do, I got to kind of find a happy medium. But I've just been hunting my ass off, man. Hunting my ass off.
Living the dream, dude.
Trying to, buddy.
Yeah, man. Life is good for sure. What a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. You got anything, Perry?
Nah, man. It was a pleasure, Josh. Good catching up with you, man. Hearing all the stories. Like you say, this is the stuff that it's all about. And you've been getting after it. So looking forward to catching up with you again and hearing how the rest of these hunts go and seeing what you put out there in the future, man. Stay tuned, folks. I know it's going to be good.
Hell yeah, man. Hey, it was good to see y'all, man. Again, this was a hell of a time. We can do it whenever. Glad to be on here, man. I appreciate y'all boys having me on. I'm down to shoot the shit whenever.
Appreciate you, man. Listeners, we appreciate the hell out of you guys. Go drop Josh a follow on IG, High Country Jaywalk, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Appreciate you guys.